What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're gonna love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to taste the flavoriest flavor to ever flavor? Snapple is ridiculously flavorful. And you can uncap a Snapple real fat with every bottle. Like, cows produce more milk when they listen to music. Come on, leave the ridiculousness to Snapple and grab one of your favorites that pack a punch. Explore all of the delicious flavors at Snapple.com.
Forever Dog.
Cool guest on today.
I mean, we do, but I'm not, but like, I'm not rocking with her right now. No,
listen,
I just can't. I'm not on her team.
I'm 100% on her team. You know, I finished the season.
No, you're not.
I finished the season of Insecure, and I am Team Molly all the way.
Wow. For those who don't know what we're talking about Yvonne Orji, who's also on the HBO show Insecure.
Plays Molly, but I'm not Team Molly, bro. I'm Team Issa all day.
Well, I'm sure we'll get to talk to her about it, but I just think this is a momentous occasion for the podcast. You know what I mean? Because we have we're getting guests of, you know, Yvonne's caliber on. I don't know. It feels pretty good.
This is a big moment for us. It's like a it's like a transitional moment.
You think we'd get invited to the boat, the Issa yacht? I'm trying to get.
I know, dude. Me too. What were you going to say?
I just feel like it's like this episode and then very next step, Issa Yacht.
Issa Yacht. Exactly. I'm going to be on that boat. We're going to be rocking. Yo, we're going to be partying. I'm going to be like, mama, I made it.
So
you're just going to say the...
So everyone knows Yvonne has an HBO special called Mama.
We're not even reviewing it. That's not even...
What? What do you... I don't know what you guys are. I'm talking about life, if I'm on the politics, boat. If I'm on Issa's yacht, I'm going to scream out, mama, I made it. I don't know.
To who? Is your mom there? Is she?
It's more like it's a thing you say.
I'm with John on this. I would FaceTime my mom and scream, mama.
You're with
mama,
John on this?
Mm-hmm. I'm with John. She would ask me that if I'm wearing a life vest because I can't swim. But I would scream, mama.
I guess I just feel a little insecure about how I.
Wow. Let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James III, Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man. How's it going? How you doing?
I am good. I am, you know, every day I'm like, it's ebbs and flows. One day it's like, yo, man, I need just a mental health break. And then another day, and then Dave Chappelle drops a comedy out special at like midnight. I'm like, well, this is what we need right now.
Right.
And I'm like,
I gotta stay up and watch this.
I know. I watched that at 1 a.m. last
night. Same.
Yeah, bro. Somebody said to me, I was like, no way I'm going to bed without watching this. I don't care how long it is. And then I was mad that it was so short. I was like, that's it?
I know.
And then I was like, I'm not doing nothing with my life. I ain't doing nothing with my life. That's my voice saying. Like, he had me feeling like, I'm not a real comic.
But that's one of the things. It's like, that was like an uncle just talking to you. My man didn't even care about jokes. He was fumbling with his notebook half the special. He was like, listen, guys, y'all here, probably in my backyard. Y'all got to chill with me. So there's no snacks. Just listen.
Bro, it's funny because I was like, yo, I think I don't really think there were notes in that notebook. I really was just I think he was trying to bring everybody in, like, oh yeah, they expecting good old Dave. He's like, nah, digging Uncle Dave today.
And it was gotcha, like,
Nick. And he was like throwing the scent off, like, let me see what else I got in here. And it's just like, I think inside the notebook was like, nigga. It was just like mad at the world notes. It is required reading. I'm like, yo, I feel like they should open school back up just to like play that and then be like, so now what did you guys think about that? Like,
right. Where you been held up? New York or LA?
Held up in LA. Right. I hope you can hear me because I'm currently like in the woods outside of San Francisco.
Oh, snap.
Zero Wi-Fi. I don't think I came here to get away from racism. I think I just it feels like I did though because I'm literally only looking at fields. It's like, this might have been the wrong move.
I feel like you got racism to avoid. And also, I'm not going to lie, I feel like people coming from Mali, heavy.
Yeah, I'm in a bunker right now because, you know, we got one more episode. People have actually tweeted me letting me know that, like, I better be glad that I'm in quarantine.
Are you serious?
If they saw me in the streets, it's going to be a problem. I'm like, wait, hold on.
No, but I feel like Issa the one that's holding out. Like, why is she?
See, James, don't start this debate right now. I can't.
I want to hear the heck out of
I'm just saying, no. I'm watching, you know, and I'm just like, yo, Issa. You know.
No. Come on. Listen, I know we got you on the podcast, but I can't rock with Molly right now. I can't.
Issa's life is mad messy. I'm saying her life is messy.
I appreciate you, James. You know, I think it's a very educated black man.
Oh! There you go. You about to come for me like that?
It takes a very wise brother to see the layers of the dichotomy.
Look, Molly had the three hits for me. I was on her team until the block party. Then we hit the diner, and then when the text came out, I was like, "Come on, man, you can't mess this text message up like that."
So you mad at Molly for moving fast? That's what you mad at Molly for hitting send too
fast? Listen, I'm not mad. I'm saying I understand everybody's plight, but like when I make fun of James, I know I'm texting John, and when I make fun of John, I know I'm texting James. I double check before the send gets hit.
I gotta be honest. I've definitely sent a couple of whoops. That was not meant to go to that people.
Yeah, so y'all, because you look at what the text said. The text said, "I'm trying." That was Molly patting herself on the back, like, mm-hmm. "All right, I know we've had issues, but see, babe, I'm trying." You still got her feelings, like, "Oh, so you got to try with me?" Yes, ho, I got to try with you because stuff hasn't been all the way correct. So y'all really mad because Molly went too fast.
Listen, I will say the one thing I love, and I guess I want to ask, I guess since we're starting, there was a good friendship. We didn't even introduce the podcast.
I was going to say, like, we should, I mean, that's all, this we're is all going in.
But we're doing wraparounds to intro.
Oh, true. Okay, you're right, James.
Right. James, no, thank you, James. But there was a good...
Educated black man.
Don't do this.
Thank you.
First off, This hurts because everyone usually is on my side, and now that you're supporting James, I don't know what to do with this.
You see how it feels? Oh, so should I call you Molly?
Wow. So I'm Molly? All right, you know what? Well, okay. You know what? You've won me over, okay? So I get it. I'm going to just sit here as an educated black man. I'm going to be quiet for like a full 2 seconds.
We do want to say thank you though for coming on and talking to us. So we should have formally welcome you to the podcast.
I appreciate that.
You know, I like to give people like a nice intro, so I got to do it traditionally, you know. It's going to be special. No, John, I got it.
Nice.
You, what you mean? I want to be, she's a part of the pod. We got, you know what I'm saying? See, just so you know, that was my drum.
I see you. I can see you.
Yeah, it was you couldn't see it because, you know, I'm about to take my haircut isn't ready, but I got drums. And...
Oh, wow.
Wow, okay. You didn't have to.
Devon's got the...
Okay, all right. Okay, you know, this podcast ain't working out the way I thought
it
was.
On the drums, everyone. Everybody,
give it up. About Origin, y'all probably, y'all know her from Insecure, got the special out on HBO. Black woman with an HBO special. Yes. That's so lit. Welcome, yo. Welcome.
I appreciate you guys. I'm happy to be here. Y'all a ball of fun right now.
We try to wake you up. You in a bunker. We trying to make sure this bunker life is good.
I'm telling you, I'm in a bunker. I walked down the street and it was this couple that owned, they didn't have dogs. They owned wolves. Like if they Excuse like me? Wolves.
I'm sorry.
Wolves? Exactly. Like Jon Snow's wolves. And I just saw his raven. I don't know that this was a good idea. Again, I tell you, if you don't hear from me, call my mama and tell her how I love her. Okay.
Well, you know, I heard people started buying wolves after Game of Thrones got really popular. And then they realized they were wolves. And then they were like just leaving them up for adoption now. So it's kind of crazy.
I would be surprised. Tiger King came out.
Oh, snap. No, these are like man wolves. Like wow. they've had them since they were babies. They grew up, and they were like, oh, they're, you know, like, you know, people walk their dogs, I'm like, they don't bite. No, they couldn't even say that. They're like, oh, you know, he's a little feisty. I'm like, yeah, I gotta go.
Oh my goodness, that is honestly that's terrifying. That is terrifying. And there's so much to talk about. I'm so yes. like.
So yeah, like normally on this show we talk about, you know, we talk about leading black actors in Hollywood, and our purpose of starting this podcast when we started it like almost 5 years ago now was to kind of showcase to people how it was so difficult for black actors to be the lead of like Hollywood movies. There was this, you know, anyway.
You get it.
You know.
But, has that ended?
No, and exactly. It hasn't really ended, but I think people would say that diversity is a trend right now, right? It's a fad. It's hot.
It's sexy.
It's sexy to say it, though. But that, I guess that's the real thing. It's sexy to say it, but at least on the still auditioning end of it, is like, we still auditioning to be the best friend of the lead white dude. You know what I mean? It's just like now his best friend is a black dude, you know? So that trend is crazy.
I feel like all of this is changing though. Cause even now with the protests, folks are not really trying to hear diversity anymore or urban. I feel like there was a label that just took away the phrase urban from the category. And I honestly think that that's what we're doing away with. Because, I was talking to a friend who was also in the industry. I was like, you know what progress really is? Progress is putting the black person not over diversity and inclusion, because that's easy. Progress is putting the black person over white accounts and like putting the white person over diversity and inclusion, because that means they're woke enough to understand how to include us into stuff, you know, like. That's progress, not like, hey, black person, be over this black thing. It's like, no, like, trust me enough to be over the main thing. Not that the black people aren't the main thing, but because we are, but be over the thing that doesn't need to be its own subcategory. The only reason it's a subcategory is because you forgot about it. And so now you need it to have it. But like, why don't we all be inclusive and then make me in charge of the thing that's already inclusive? That's progress. Exactly.
Facts.
Beautifully said. Yeah, no, that's exactly what we've been kind of talking through and going through. But I don't know. You guys want to kick it off? We would love to know more about your personal journey. I know. Go ahead.
Yeah, because we watched this special and like, one, you're from PG. I'm from Southeast. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Mumbo sauce on the wings. You know what I'm saying?
What stop on the Green Line though?
Oh, see, this is my thing. I didn't even like. I'm Anacostia. I'm the closest to Anacostia. I'm like,
oh, Anacostia.
Yeah, you know.
I used to go to church around there.
See, that's where most of the black churches be at. And then you know, my family moved to PG too, because that's, you know, the county with all the black folk with money.
But it was so great
watching the special, because honestly, you had to play both worlds. Like, I remember growing up in D.C., and it was that phrase that you even mentioned in the special, like the African booty scratcher. So, like, coming, being African, but then also really being African-American, like, what was that balance like? Because I feel like sometimes in Hollywood, not even Hollywood, in America, it feels like there's a tension between, like, African-Americans and Africans, because it feels like everyone's trying to vie for who's better or, you know, who had it worse, so that kind of energy.
It's so funny because I was really having this conversation with a friend yesterday who's African-American. And she was saying, I mean, because one thing I know, I'm like, I believe that I'm supposed to be a bridge between the two, kind of those two worlds. Because I feel like there's so much misunderstanding. Because I do, from a lot, anytime I meet an African-American, it's like, oh, y'all Africans think you better than us. And I was telling her, I was like, the thing about it is, like, especially being Nigerian, we're always taught to be better than, like, whoever's our competitor. Like, it's not even like we're looking to crap on a group of people. It's just like, if I'm in Nigeria, you better than the person who's number one in your class. It's like, so I'm looking to be better than the best Nigerian. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I literally have tattooed on my arms, Nigerians don't finish last. Like, it's a Nigeria, they carry last. And so that's like our motto, like our country motto. It's just, it's very much like whatever you do in this world, you better be darn good at it and you better be the best. And so she was saying like, wow, so it's not really that y'all are even trying to be better than African-Americans. You're just trying to be better in life. Mm-hmm. And then she was just like, as an African-American, you know, through obviously slavery and institutionalized racism, it was ingrained that African-Americans weren't good at X, Y, and Z, even though we built the White House, you know, even though, you know, all these things. So it's kind of like, she was telling me, she was like, for years and for centuries, it's always been this, like, Black people trying to prove their goodness or their bestness. Whereas from a Nigerian point of view, we're always just trying to be the best, period, because no one told us we couldn't be.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, when you look at it like that, it's really not like us looking down. It's really just us always looking up, you know, like, it's just like, well, how do we always do that? But at the same time, because of so much misunderstanding, so much, you know, how do I say, like, because I told her, I was like, to be honest, in Nigeria, because of Wi-Fi and because of cable, the imagery of African Americans was like BET shows and cops, you know, like really anything that, like you said, like what the whole reason for this podcast is, what do you see Black people as in entertainment? That's what's perpetuated overseas in the continent. So when parents bring their kids to America, the conversation is, make sure you go over there. Don't take any of the, just study hard and come back. And, you know, cause you have a culture here that does not subscribe to any of this, any of these things that we're showing. And so it's like, you know, as a child of immigrants, you're like, but wait, then you come here and you're like, but Black people are cool. but the older generation is just like, we don't know, don't associate too much because we see what's happening. And it's like, no, you see what media is perpetuating. But that's what media does. Media has the power to make you think now, okay, like Crazy Rich Asians, all Asian people are rich. You know, it's like, no, there's nuance. Even the show Insecure, it's like Alexander Hodge, who plays Andrew. It's like, for the first time, it's like, dang, Asian people can be sex symbols because he's so used to being cast as the nerd or whatever. But it's like, when you're able to see a group of people differently, you're able to receive them differently. So I think the hurt to your question of the misunderstanding and or the relationship, the tension between African Americans and Africans, and not Africans like South Africa, but Africans in general, is we haven't sat down to really understand, like, we're not each other's enemy. Right. There is misunderstanding, but this is exactly what colonization and slavery wanted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, man, you know, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have. But it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate when you're not working.
It's too much. It's too much. It's heavy.
You know?
I got the shakes and, you know, the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009. And what are we in April? Soon to be May. And I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aide. And I'm like, who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes to talk about this stress. Therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in. Like, sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah, I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting mm-hmm. in certain situations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I use BetterHelp, and Timothy, black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. For sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling, and I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp!
This episode is brought to you by Lay's. Lay's potato chips proudly grow potatoes on over 100 farms across North America. That's right, you're living in a nation full of golden stuff. From 23 million potatoes in Virginia to 366 million potatoes in California in 2022 alone, you can thank your farmers for making your stay golden moments possible. Lay's, stay golden. To learn more, head to goldengrowshere.com.
This summer, no matter where you're going, bring Kinder Bueno along for the ride. The smooth milk chocolate, crispy wafer, and creamy hazelnut filling will turn your ordinary road trip into an extraordinary journey that's made to savor. So what are you waiting for? Grab your Kinder Bueno bar at the next stop. When crispy meets creamy, life gets bueno. Head to the Kinder Bueno US Instagram page to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. Whatever you're into, with Amazon Prime, you can go deep. So if you're all about pop right now, you could watch pop documentaries on Prime Video, discover pop playlists on Amazon Music Prime. And if you're really serious, order a rhyming dictionary with fast free shipping from Prime. From shopping to streaming to saving, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
I have a follow-up question that, I mean, I know we're going to be talking about a wide range of things today, but this sort of relates to what Gerard was just asking and to what you were just talking about how, you know, for a lot, because of the media, black people in America were represented a certain way in Nigeria. From people in your circles, what are you hearing about the Black Lives Matter movement from Nigerians, people in Africa that are in your circles? Of course, obviously you can't speak for everyone, but like, yeah. what are you hearing anything in particular about that in terms of support or in terms of point of view?
So the thing is, the reality is, and I know a lot, me and my friends, we've talked about this, like, it doesn't, like, when a police officer pulls you over, they're not going to be like, oh my God, you're a different kind of black person. You went to, you know, X school and you have a green passport. they're literally just going to see black, right? And exactly. I think that, you know, for so long, the older generation tried to do the separate thing of like, hey, you're in America, but you're not, you know, like you're in it, but you're not of it, right? So it's like just, and it was a thing that I think even African-Americans have experienced of this, like, hey, you know, maybe if you just go to the best schools and you can, it's like, no, we actually had a black president who did all of that. And look at what they did to him. You know, so it's like, it's not even, it's the rules are constantly changing. Then it's like, after we got the black president who literally was like flawless, you know, and then it was like, you know what? Now to be president, you got to grope women. And then you got to like not be able to read. It's like,
that's so sad.
So it's just like the rules change. And, you know, I somebody posted this thing and I reposted it and it was saying like, hey, Africans, this is our fight too. You know, we can't be here and be like, ah, dang, that sucks for y'all. Because like, no one cares that we are from another country other than like, you know, the people in another country. But it's like, while we're here, while we're taking the, like, while we're absorbing, utilizing and benefiting from the benefits that we are afforded as Americans or in America, then like, bruh, we have to stand in solidarity too. And one thing I told my friend, I was like, dang, wouldn't it be crazy dope if anywhere in the world, people of color that were Black or brown were being crapped on, the African Union could mobilize and be like, to the rescue. And she was like, so basically Wakanda. And I was like,
no. Real life.
I was like, yo, the crazy thing about it is, and this is what we don't understand, like as the diaspora, is slavery was horrible. What y'all got in slavery in terms of like the systematic oppression, the three-fifths of person, all of that to dismantle Black mobilization and Black power. On the diaspora side, we got in colonization. It's like, hey guys, so we're gonna give you guns and alcohol. Can we grab some of this gold though? Can we grab some of this rubber though? Can we grab some of this oil though? And so it's just like on both sides, it's like the power of Black people have been crippled. And so it's like, and then there's also corruption, you know, let's not fake.
Right.
There's also corruption. So it's kind of like the superpower that Black people are actually supposed to be around the world has been diminished in order for like the powers that be to stay in power. And I think what we're seeing now in America is this uprising of like, nah, we tired of this because we don't believe the lies anymore. And I think that's what like the rumbling, and to speak to Dave Chappelle, is like, we don't believe these lies anymore. We're not three-fifths people. We are actually smarter, better, whatever you want to call it. We are actually dope as heck. We are actually world leaders. We're these things that you told us we couldn't be, and now you're mad that that's why all that you put on us, we are actually surpassing you in every realm, in every country, in every establishment. Yeah. Sorry, I'm off.
No, right, that's amazing. Listen, that's the flow we need right now. That's the energy going forward. 2020, yo.
One of the things I really, this is a slight detour, but just because we were talking about the relationship, and one of the things I loved about your special was the fact that it was part documentary, essentially, right? Like, you took us, the viewer, to your home, to Nigeria, to, you know, showing us your parents, showing us some of your friends, showing, you know, kind of, I think one of the things about comedy that people may take for granted, especially white people sometimes in America, you take for granted is like a common point of reference, right? So like there are certain jokes, right? And this is that you know, that dichotomy happened in the 90s where it was like, oh, Black people got, you know, those are jokes for Black people and these are jokes for white people. And really what that was speaking to is just that when you have a different point of reference, you know, the comedy can sometimes be, you know, different. But one of the things that was so cool about your special was that you had these jokes, you know, the jokes were for the audience, you know, in the theater, that your fans that you've amassed over the years, like people who do get this point of reference. But then you also kind of show, you know, you literally like go, like when you did the, you know, the joke about haggling, then you kind of go and show people like you haggling, right? Like, and to me, it was like, oh my God, that enhances it. Like, you could laugh at that joke, even if you don't necessarily understand it, because you do such a great job explaining it, like in the stand-up itself. But then we actually see it, you know, or when we see the guy say like, at the stop sign, you stop, you know, like that was so funny.
Oh, man.
To like, for you to say it and we're laughing and then we actually see it. We're like, oh my God, this is real. So yeah, I just wanted to know a little bit more about like kind of what inspired you to have that idea to go and kind of and show people. And it, yeah, if that was like intentional or or what?
What's crazy is we didn't script any of those like man on the street things. It was literally off cuff. And I've had the Nigerian given direction joke from an experience with like asking Nigerians in America for direction. And I was like, bro, I wonder if this is the same back home. Like, let's just see what they talking about. And sure enough, I was like, y'all can't even make this up. This is better. In some ways, I'm like, yo, this is better than the actual joke. Because like this man really was like, just go all the way down, 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 down. And I was like, no. And it almost solidified, like, you can take the guy out of Lagos, but you can't take Lagos out of the guy. And it's that, especially for the older version. And it's that kind of thing, too, that I was trying to show that there's no way to separate me and my experience as an African-American or and as a Nigerian. It's like, it's embedded. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, it's just, even if I tried, even if all I listened to was like rap music, whatever it is, even if all I did was go to the cookout and sing Before I Let Go, like whatever rap culture thing you want to ascribe, there is still a Nigerian in me that is like, I move differently because of like the influences. And I think, and again, just like even tying the whole conversation up, I don't necessarily think it's about like having to choose, right? Because there is this thing of like, well, you an American now. So I'm just like, yeah, I am in America, but I have very Nigerian sensibilities. And that makes me unique. And that makes me different. And that makes my American experience even more heightened, right? So it's not like, hey, let me put down this Nigerian side and let me only pick up this American thing because I'm in America. But it's like part of the great melting pot of America is that so many people came here with different, you know, points of views. Unfortunately, African Americans didn't come here like willfully. But it's like, while I'm here as Yvonne Orji with these two perspectives, let me show you a little bit about how my Blackness is, you know, with all the things that it's like jambalaya, right? It's like you can't have jambalaya without shrimp. It's like you can't have gumbo without a little bit of the crab meat. Like, what are you doing? Like, what is this? Who's mad at this? You know, if you're allergic to shellfish, then you don't eat gumbo. Like, those are just the rules. So it's like I'm the gumbo that is just like, yo, my Blackness encompasses so much. Let me show you it.
I love that. That's a t-shirt slogan right there. I'm the gumbo.
I'm the gumbo.
You know, watching the special, one, I love, you know, now you got the HBO checks, but I love that your mom still treats you the same. Like, even though you got her a Louis bag, like, she still cared about the thing you missed from the grocery store on the list, which is like something my mom would do. She'd be like, yeah, man, listen, I see you got me this trip or whatever, but where's the milk I told you to get, you know? So that moment was so...
Nothing changes.
Like, which is interesting. So I wanted to ask you about what are some of the changes? And I think it's kind of, this question is a two-part question, because you mentioned earlier just, you know, what Insecure and seeing, you know, Alexander, like, who's Asian and he's a sex symbol. And also, I think what is really important, I bring this up a lot because I guess I'm darker skinned, but watching Insecure is like, you Issa, then you have Amanda and Natasha. But there are the sex scenes like that you and Issa have. So you see like these Black bodies finally being shown in a way that is like owning their sexuality, where a lot of times in movies, if it's going to be a movie, the light skinned woman is going to be like the love interest. The dark skin one is going to be the sex crazed one. And the Asian guy is going to be the geeky dude. Like, have you seen like an evolution in Hollywood just of the changing of times a little bit now that you've been in it, in the game? And like,
you know, I think what it is strategic positioning, or not even, that's not even the word. Like, I think it's just, it takes a creative like Issa, right? Like, I credit Issa for so much, and I'm not to say that because she's my friend and my boss and, you know, so many other things, but it's like, I remember the breakdown for Molly, and it was like dark-skinned Black woman, and it's just like, huh? Like, wow. She specifically, because the reality was, that you said, you know, I'm a dark skinned black woman, and I have friends, that are also dark skinned black women. So I don't understand why Hollywood makes us feel like we can't have two dark skinned black women on screen at the same time. Like, it's not palatable for who, whereas it's actually my reality. And so, you know, to that sense, you know, because again, what people who are in positions of power who don't understand the dynamics, the actual dynamics of such relationships, they're like, well, we got to give these people what they want. And then we also have, it's like a checklist. It's like, okay, dark skin, light skin, curly hair, racially ambiguous. It's just like, let's just check all the boxes. And Issa was like, no, I'm actually showing my world, the reality of my world. So like, help me understand why we can't have two. And, you know, HBO was not tripping about it. It was like, we can't tell you about your vision and your experience. They've been like, we can tell you about story and structure, you know, but, you know, go off.
That's so cool to hear that. So cool.
But it's just like, but who else in positions that can make decisions is thinking that, right? Or is willing to be like, no, this, to fight for that. People don't know that that is a thing. They just continue to perpetuate what they see. So if they're like, the light-skinned black girl, and not to say like the light-skinned black girl shouldn't get work, because everybody should get work. There should be enough work for everybody, but just recognizing and understanding that there are different things mean, right? What different shades have, like, over history and culturally, what seeing yourself as beautiful looks like. Right. And how for a lot of darker skinned black women, they haven't seen themselves as such, because all that's perpetuated towards them about what beauty standards are is very different. And so, you know, to your question, what's changed? I mean, what will continue to change is if more creatives are giving the power and the liberty to be as authentic and honest as possible. And I think that's happening. I think we're entering a shift where, honestly, I think the powers that be in Hollywood are like, man, I think we've gotten it wrong. I think, right, you just said, I think they'd be like, I thought we were doing it right. And it's just like, it was very surface level, quote unquote, doing it right. And now with the protests and now with everything, I think what's happening right now is not just about George Floyd. That was definitely a catalyst. Oh, yeah. I feel like it is excavating everything beneath the surface, beneath the layers. Like, beauty brands are being checked. You know, like, different industries are being checked. Clothing companies that have been making gazillions off of the backs of blacks. It's like, hey, well, who do you have in your corporation that looks like us? And it's like, if you don't, guess what? You won't have our green money. That's what they're gonna short. You know, so, facts.
Yeah. I mean, this is just another follow up again to this last question. But do you feel like it's important? I'm trying to figure out how to phrase it without, I'm not trying to put you into a box, but like, for you, in terms of like roles that you're seeing coming to you, you know, are you noticing a change in creative teams? You know, are you noticing a change in like, are you seeing more POCs on creative teams that are approaching to you? And then secondly, like, is it, Do you think that it's on us, the actor, to be aware of that in parts that we take? Or, like, should we be infiltrating as many spaces as we can, you know, and being present in as many places as we can to further have change? You know, this is a more open-ended question. I'm not expecting a specific.
We should definitely be infiltrating as in all aspects, right? And it's kind of like, it's almost kind of like, it ain't enough to just be an actor no more. Like, it is, that's cool, but it's like, yo, if you can't write, find a partner with a writer, you know what I'm saying? Be like, yo, I got this idea, and I need you to be, you know, to do this. Or, you know, one thing I love about, I told Issa, I was like, yo, your dreams, your vision birthed so many dreams. Like, Jay got a chance to be directed this season. It's really like, yo, this is how the change happens, because now it's undeniable. Like, you can't be like, well, we would give you a chance as a first time director, but, you know, you've never done it. It's like, actually, here's my resume. Got to do it. and on such a large scale, right? But at the same time, like in whatever, I think we have a responsibility. The thing about whenever, anytime you're Black, you're never just allowed to just be Black, right? You're always like teacher, mentor, student. Like you can't just be like, the privilege comes in when you have the luxury to just be. Like we can't ever just be. Like we can't just be like, yo, I'm an actor. No, I'm literally in a scene for a project, and it's just like, you know, we're sitting, we're in rain is supposed to happen, and I have like natural hair, and I'm just supposed to just be like in the rain as if it's fun, because my white counterpart is also in the rain. And I was just like, hey guys, quick note. So in no way, shape, or form with me as a Black girl, just be chilling here, because rain and hair don't mix. And I was just like, I know I can't like rewrite the script and like leave, but as an actress, I was like, I have to at least say a line like, oh no, my hair. And so I like said that. And even if I stayed, at least it's like acknowledging like, well, she made a decision to stay, but she also made it consciously knowing that her hair is about to get ruined. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just those little fights that you have to, you can't just like, yeah, sure, whatever you want. Chad, I don't know why Chad.
Because Chad sounds like the right name to put in there.
You know it was Chad. Yeah. You know it was a Chad.
Chad or a Todd.
whatever you want, Chad. Like, I gotta be like, no, because there's like, I have Black fans and I need them to watch this and not be like, this, hold up, sold out for a check. No, because it's really strange.
So, what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order, and they ship samples to you fast and free.
Wow, how convenient. Tell me more.
They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation. Plus, they're 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save 40% on selected products. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I love driving with Uber because I have access to 24/7 live support, which is really great because I like to drive at night. I like to know I have support in the middle of the night or early in the morning. I can chat with a live agent 24/7. As a female driver, I get it. You need to feel protected. And Uber has our back for sure. Uber, earn like a boss. Sign up to earn today at uber.com/boss.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think it's interesting because it feels like we are living in this time where, you know, part of this movement, I think, that's happening, you know, with even the label anti-racist, is trying to tell people, like, it's not enough to just not be racist, right? It's not enough to just think that you're just doing, you know, the right thing or not being prejudiced or things like that. It's like, we have to be socially, like, people have to be socially conscious. They have to understand, like, the systemic problems that exist. And there's a responsibility to that. And that extends out, like, kind of for everyone. And as actors, as people where, you know, people look up to you, you know, that responsibility can weigh heavy, and it weighs way more heavy on Black people and Black women, honestly, to be completely real with it, than anybody else. So I mean, like, that's, I'm interested to know if, I'm interested to know how your faith ties into this, because I myself am a Christian. I came from a pretty conservative, like, kind of Christian background. And I know for me, there was like this whole kind of faith journey getting into, you know, acting and things like that. Like, I think people have so many opinions on it. So I was just wondering if, yeah, you could share a little bit about kind of your journey with that and how it ties into your career, or if it does at all.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason you guys probably know about me is because of Jesus, because this chick was on her way to being the worst doctor in the world. Like, I would have been like, ma'am, I need you to just put the needle in my arm. Like, I can't look though, but I can't look. and it would have been bad. I wouldn't have even had to take the oath. They were just like, this chick is not gonna make it. So, you know, faith, God was the one who told me to do comedy. I remember Holy Spirit, loud as day, being like, what else you got? I'm like, nothing. He's like, well, you gonna rock with us or not? I'm like, I don't understand why you talking to me like you DMX. I got questions. You don't have to be a bully about this. And he really gave me an ultimatum. Like, if you say you rock with me, you say you trust me, if you say you have faith in me, well, this is your moment. Like, this is how you show me. And I was nervous. I was scared. I was like, this don't make no sense. I was like, have you met my mom? She don't even let me not give her lettuce. How she don't let me not give her doctor? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's all the questions. And I remember in that moment being like, what's the point? What's the point of going to church? What's the point of singing the songs? What's the point of going through the performance if I'm really not going to live the life? Because for all of that, like, I could be fake anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And just holding on to that hope, holding on to the what if God knows more, is what got me here. You know, because at some point it gets hard. You're like, maybe this guy don't know what he's talking about. But you got to hold on to, like, maybe he does. And it's that, but maybe he does, that really stuck with me in the dark times, that really rocked with me when I was like, I'm 5 seconds from depression, kid. Like, this is harder than I imagined. And it was just standing in the truth of his word that sustained me, that got me over the darkest days to here.
Wow.
So lit. You know, can I ask a real Molly-like question right now? Because I feel like I just want to get it out, and just, I was trying to think about the whole way how to phrase it in a calm way, but I feel like Molly got the bluntness to her, you know. So I just feel like, let me just blunt it. No, but seriously, now hearing that story, because I think there are a lot of actors, especially Black actors, who, if you haven't made it into, I don't know, someone mentioned it before, that Black elite that happens now, because I feel like Hollywood, because the pool of leading roles is whatever, and like, they only pick from the certain Black people who have now been kind of elevated to a certain extent, most of whom did it on their own. Like, when I think about Issa, the Donald Glovers, and like Lena Waithe, it's like a lot of their notoriety came from like their own creations and like work that they've done. Do you think that in Hollywood going forward, now that we have this kind of call for Black voices, that there is not responsibility, but maybe responsibility for those who have made it to kind of help usher in those under them? Like, I feel like I see a lot of times, like, filmmakers of other races always go, oh man, I saw this short film from the person from my hometown, and I wanted to put them on. Now that person's Guillermo del Toro. Or Steven Spielberg is like, I saw this short film from this kid, now this kid is doing Jurassic World. Do you think like Black entertainment people have the same responsibility to help?
It's like the Lena Waithe kind of, she had a little
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Lena Waithe had a comment, was it a year or two ago, about like how the Will Smiths and Denzels should be actively helping people out. Even though Denzel does it a lot, I think maybe she just didn't know at the time. But I guess my question is, do you think it's a responsibility for those who came before to help out those behind? Is the question.
I mean, I think Black people have always been helping. I think yeah. they have. Like, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I just feel like inherently, if you are a Black creative, at some point in your life, you have. Mm-hmm. It may not be visible. It may not be like you got a school of, you know, a school of prep for actors. You know, like it. You know, it may not be you posting it all on the gram or the Wish Ignite, all up in the videos, all up in the studio. It may not be as visible, but I think for sure we've known the responsibility. And also back in the day, there were very limited options, right? I think we have a now, I'll say militant, but a very vigilant push of like, you're not gonna bring my brother in. You know, you opened the door for me, guess what? I'm letting everybody in.
Yeah.
I know in my career and in my life, I definitely had people reach out to me. There was a young man named Michael Ajakwe, who was a writer, Nigerian cat, and I was like, who the F is this guy? So I reached out to him on Facebook. He got me my first internship. It was an unpaid internship in LA. Belly Kyle Evans, who, you know, executive produced Martin, and Stacey Evans Morgan, they brought me in, and then like Chris Rock, you know, put me, you know, as an opener on his tour. So it was just and Issa, you know, like so it was just mm-hmm. like I definitely have benefited from, you know, Black people reaching back. For me, I keep a running list. Like one thing I will know, because Mike was, I recognized the Nigerian name, and I was like, bruh, you don't know me. But we got something in common. So I keep a running list, a running tab. Like anybody with a Nigerian name that like gets on my radar, I'm like, yo, who's that? What they do? Mm. Cool. And sometimes it's just like, yo, okay, let's just have lunch. Like, hey, you good? You straight? You got a bed? Because for me specifically, I know the journey as not only a Black person, but as a first generation immigrant. Bruh, let me tell you right now, it's so different. Like, I feel like Black people in the arts, like African Americans in the arts, it's kind of like, oh yeah, baby, and if you want to dream it, you can do it. Like there's that support from like your parents, like reach as high as you can, baby. I don't know why I'm doing this, like, but I just feel like, I think I've watched Soul Food once many times. It's like, baby, you can do it. In my household, it was like, this thing you want to do, nobody else is doing it. I'm like, what the heck? Nobody? Like yes. Nobody else is doing it? And so it wasn't until I got to New York that it was like a coalition. They were also in the bunker, like, hey, meeting at 5 o'clock, the Nigerians and the Africans in the art industry, you know, meet us at Central Park, shake two birds on the way here. It's like, what? And like, it didn't make sense that it was almost like we had to be in hiding because our parents basically disowned us. Our family was like, you're a disgrace and a rebel, you know, because it was like, they didn't know how, and not because they didn't love us, they didn't know how to help us. And so I know particularly for me, any African I see in the industry, I know it wasn't just because like, they told their parents this is what they wanted to do and their parents were like, go for it. It was more like, eh. Don't come home until you change your mind. And so I particularly, you know, it's funny now, like, I think there's a new generation, like, I have a cousin who told, you know, my aunt, but my aunt is also different, who told my aunt she wanted to do musical theater. And my aunt was like, cool. I was like, what manner of African are you? Cool. You just said okay with no resistance. How's she gonna make it in life? Like you gotta give her some resistance. What the heck? And it was, go ahead.
No, I said no, it's so interesting because that is, I can 100% vouch that you've done that because one of our mutual friends, Mamadou, I don't know Mamadou's last name. I've known him for 10 years, but he wrote a spec for Broad City and wrote you as like, what was it? It was like basically like Alana always acts Black and he like wrote you in as the person that comes in and is like, hey, we got to stop this. And he said he reached out to you. Y'all met up in New York and you were like so pleasant and kind. And I'm like, oh, so you are a person who actually practices what they say because we know personally a person you have been kind to. So that's really cool. You know?
Oh, bless you. Because no, my thing is like, the thing is, I think what people expect is that, like, I personally will be the one to help you. For me, I'm a connector. My gift is not necessarily like, I may not be the one to put you on, but I'd be like, yo, I know nothing about music, but I do know this other dude who knows music and he's a producer. Y'all should talk. And then I elevate you to you, and then I go about my business. And then 2 years later, I get people like, that one thing you did, I'm like, I sent an email? When did I send an email? Because for me, it's nothing. If I see, now again, I know this podcast is going to go up and people going to be like, Yvonne, remember when you said, hold up. It's got to be organic, right? Like, there's so much stuff that I get. And I'm the kind of person that if I genuinely like something, if it genuinely speaks to me, you won't even have to ask me to promote. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm the kind of person that's like, yo, if I rock with something and it speaks to me and it's good, because that's the thing too. I'm like, yo, please have good quality stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever it is at your level. Because at this point, you can do quality with an iPhone. There's no excuse, right? It's easy for me to be like, look, man, look at what they're trying to do on their own. Because that's what Issa did to me. After I put out the first gen trailer, because I was like on my own, like trying to do my own thing. And then when I got like deep in the auditions for Insecure, it was just like, I didn't have any credits to my name. Some of the other producers were like, I mean, she's good, you know? And it was just kind of like, well, look at this thing that she, an apprentice told me. He was like, well, this is what she can do on her own. Imagine what she can do when she has like, actual direction, you know, actual, like, you know, people and systems in place, like, make her better. We can see the spark. And that's what people, they underestimate. Like, no, we need to see the spark. We need to see, like, you working in your excellence. And that gives us an opportunity to be like, how can we get behind you and rally? Because all you need now is a push. Not like you need the ingredients, you need the cookbook, you need the pot, you need the, it's like, God, this is my recipe now. At this point, this is mine.
Lord.
You got tired just hearing it. You're like, yeah, we know those folks.
I mean, because that's how it always, people always make you do everything.
Right. that's my to-do list today.
Did you write it yet? Yeah. Did you produce it on your own yet? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it sucks because there are our counterparts who don't have to do all that. Exactly. They literally don't even have to be smart in school and just be like, look at this job I want. And it's like, sure, we'll find a way in. And you're like, right. No, don't find a way in for them.
I had
like, what about,
yeah. I had to delete a tweet after advice because basically there is a show. I'm not gonna say it, James, I'm being smart. There's a show fronted by a white person. Who is not a comedian, not a writer.
You about to describe the exact log line.
I didn't say anything. But it's another white person, and he just said, I wanted a show. And I told him I wanted a show. And he does have a following, but I've heard that story so many times from like white creators on every level, whether it's somebody who creates a show, whether it's somebody who wants to write it or direct. I've had friends like, yeah, I just told them I wanted to direct. And it feels like there's an assumption that if you're a white male specifically, you can do the job. Whereas if you're a person of color, we got to give you a chance to prove you can do the job, you know? And I think that's the most frustrating part, whereas like the assumption is not always the same going across the board.
And that's what but isn't that what we're fighting with police brutality? Right. It's the same. It's literally, I mean, in a more drastic sense, it's what Amy Cooper was trying. It's like, who is this black man to tell me to follow the rules of the park? Mm-hmm. How dare he? And it's like, nah, he's just telling you to follow the rules of the park because that's what you would do. Like, you would expect me to follow. Like, if you told me to do that, you would expect me to curb my dog, put my dog in the thing. Like, so why is it that, like, I can't say, hey, chick, by the way, BT Dubs, put this dog on leash for your dog. Why does it have to be a threatening thing? Hey, okay, this quote-unquote $20 is fake. Well, can we go down to wherever, to the bank, and for them to see if this $20 is fake before you put your knee on my neck? Like, let's talk about that. Let's, that's basically in a different form what's actually happening, what we're fighting against. It's like, wait. What is it? And the thing about it is, Black people aren't going to be perfect. We've had to present as perfect because it's like that. We literally have to be perfect to get like the assistant job. right? Yeah, right? But we're coming in as the executive, but just we gotta be so perfect just to get into the assistant level, right? Whereas right. the assistant mm-hmm. is basically at the kindergarten level, but God bless it. You know what I mean? Like, not yeah. like the yeah. assistant, but no, like exactly. the non-person of color assistant that's there doesn't have to be, you know, you guys understand what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, it's a beautiful sentiment. And in other words, Black people are only human.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Maybe not everybody sees us that way.
Right, yeah, right.
Exactly. And so now it's kind of like we have to give ourselves permission to not be perfect. Even exactly. like with what I just, even with what I just said in terms of like, dang, Black people, but, you know, do we need to be, do we have to have all the ingredients? It's like, it sucks that we have to be like, you kind of have to create your own thing before we take notice of you, whereas like somebody else can just come in with basically a recipe and be like, can somebody else go grocery shopping for me though? Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah. it what I'm saying now just kind of counteracts what I just said 5 seconds ago, because I realized like that is part of the problem. It's like, yes, we should always strive to be excellent, but real equality is, hey, we're not going to be great out the gate, but can we still get a shot? And can we still like get another movie?
Yes,
like,
yeah.
Like I think yeah, what's exactly. I think what's great is everyone. You know, it's funny because I was watching Black as F, and you know, Kenya had like Ava and everybody else. Then it's like, and he talked about A Wrinkle in Time. I'm like, yo, really? Quality is for A Wrinkle in Time to not have been the most perfect Black movie directed, a yes. movie directed by a Black director, and Ava still like get another gazillion million dollar budget movie. That's 100%. It's actually great. I'm glad it happened.
Yeah.
Like, let's do it again.
Yeah,
and give another Black person millions of dollars to make a movie because exactly. you trust their judgment.
Yes,
exactly. White people have been allowed to fail in Hollywood for so long, and we should be allowed to fail too sometimes.
Yeah, or for some Black bombs. I want more.
And just to clarify that, we're not saying A Wrinkle in Time is a failure. It's just that, like, you know, it doesn't have to be the best. Like, not every Black production needs to be, you know, like Get Out, but, like making, you know, 30 times its budget or whatever.
But at the same time, for Black people who are taking in the content, we also have to allow ourselves to be like,
that's true.
Mm-hmm. That was not the greatest, but you know what? I rock with them because cancel culture, because like the reality is like Black Twitter is a regime, right? And it's like, it's also not private. It's quite public.
Right,
so
public.
We may think the executives who aren't Black aren't like listening to what the streets are buzzing about, right? But if we're like, no, so-and-so is canceled, we don't want to see them. It's just like, guess what? Some studio executive is like, well, should we cancel them too? Or, how do we win? Yeah. We thought we were doing right by doing this, but even their own people are saying it's trash. So maybe we should. So it's like, we also need to give ourselves grace.
Yeah.
Which I'm gonna segue into Molly right quick.
Oh, here we go.
You know, we need to give ourselves grace to see ourselves as messy, to see ourselves as work in progress, see ourselves as growing pains. Because how else are you gonna get to your excellence if you don't fumble?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I feel like I've learned so much from this podcast, but learning that I'm the Molly of the group right now has changed my life. Because I always thought of myself as more of an Issa, but I see that I am Molly, and I'm on Team Molly now. So you've won me over officially.
But being Molly is not a negative.
No, you're right.
Second, Black brother.
Yeah. No, but that's
change your person.
But that's what I mean, though. Exactly. That's what I mean. I think there's a thing, especially as being a Black man. I think when you watch the show, you know what it is? There is something that I think Insecure and your performance of Molly does really well and that's really good, is that the layers of showing why someone is tough and guarded. Like, I know I'm from Southeast DC, and there are a lot of things where like I get called angry or aggressive. And it's like, it's not, for me, it's not being that. It's being passionate, but also just knowing things you don't want to deal with. Like when Molly's like, you know, her dad cheated. I don't know how I can rock with you right now. Like, you cheated on my mother. Like, that is a real thing. And I'm really happy that we see the levels of that and even see Molly as a person who's that tough go into therapy, even though it's a battle in therapy, you know, because I feel like I've been to that point. Like, I think you're wrong. You know, like, I think you're reading me wrong. You're not listening to what I'm saying, obviously. So Yeah, I don't mean it in a negative way. It's like, it's a very encouraging way, because when she literally kind of, this one that came out, the episode before last, when she's in therapy and hearing her go back and forth with her therapist, I'm like, oh, I can relate to hearing something about yourself, not realizing you do the thing, but then also justifying the thing that you do because that's how your mind is made up, you know? And then having someone right after that tell you, hey, you're doing that thing. You're wrong. I'm not doing that.
Because the thing about it, normal feels comfortable to us, even if normal is actually problematic. But it's our problematic. It's our center. It's our pill. And we swallow it and we cuddle it. And when somebody tells you, can I have your teddy bear? You're like, no. It's like, no, but I need your teddy bear. It's like, but it's mine. And it's like, but if you just got rid of this teddy bear, you could grow up. And it's like, but what if I don't want to grow up? And it's like, well, hold on to your teddy bear, ruin your life.
This is great.
Oh my God. So we know you have to head out soon. So I guess just, yeah, any lasting thing you want to say? I mean, everyone should know the special is out now on HBO, HBO Go, HBO Max, HBO Now, HBO, you know, they got 3,000.
I can't even find HBO Max. I'm like, I guess it'll be on Roku soon.
You know, HBO is a new iPhone. It's just like, I know. Are you still on Go? Oh, man just came out.
There's so many HBO.
Oh my goodness.
As well as the Insecure, you could catch up on the new season. Yeah, anything else that do you want people to follow you on social media?
Don't want that Molly smoke?
I would like less followers. Thank you so much. Yeah. You keep your double tabs at Ifan Orji. No, man, you guys have been great. I think what you guys are doing is so necessary. Coming together as young Black men, just like moving culture and speaking about culture and activating and celebrating culture. And, you know, just thank you for giving me this time and this opportunity, and thank you for watching the special. I'm always grateful. I never take it for granted that people will come on to something I'm doing, because I'm just like, y'all actually watch. Like, it's like, it surprises me, and it's like, well, what did you think you were doing? I'm like, I know, but it's like, you plan a party and you're like, I hope people show up, and then people are like, yo, that party was bomb. You're like, it was. And it's like, oh,
we feel the same way when people tell us they listen to our podcast. We're like, really? You guys do?
What, like, for real? What episode?
We do.
Like, I have heard a whole me for a week. Like, literally,
oh, that was
my
so
lady
great.
Keeps saying a whole me every time I ask for a certain thing. And I'm like, listen, I'm not even trying to, like, I'm not trying to have this right now. I just need you to pass this to me real quick. She's like, me? A whole me? So that special was dope. So many quotables in it.
That's why it's trademarked. Thank you so much.
Amazing. Yeah. Can people buy that merch?
I would buy a whole me cup. You know what I'm saying?
Don't worry, it's coming.
Yeah.
I'm like, run me these coins right quick. You know,
the fact that the crowd said it the second time
that you said it,
I was like, wow. That lock-in was so quick. I was like, man, that's a catchphrase to go right there.
You would start a song quote, and they would just finish that.
I was like, y'all was right. I was like, yo, the DC crowd is right now. I love it.
But isn't that the beauty of being a comedian? Like, now there is going to be a meme or gif made of you saying a whole me, and that's going to be, like, used in so many conversations going forward, just sent out to people. Like,
first of all, I still don't know if it's GIF or JIF.
Neither do I.
GIF, so I don't know who's right. It's like, I also don't say texted. I'm like, no, text is present and past tense. And people are like, nah, he texted me. I was like, that's too many letters. Like, it's surreal, because I definitely was like, before the special came out, I was like, yo, what's my quotable though? What's my moment?
I didn't
know what it was. I had no idea. I was like, what's going to be my what Kevin Hart is about to go down?
Yes.
I was like, what's going to be my it's about to go down? And now the people are telling me. I was like, I appreciate that. Although they are also saying my mama needs a spinoff. I was like, but it's a comedy special. You don't get a spinoff on a comedy special.
But see, but like, that's the spinoff. Your mom was so happy at the beginning, looking at the camera, just smiling in it, like just smiling dead in the camera. And then you bring in that bag meant nothing. That bag meant...
I don't even know if she uses it, bro. Like, I hope, like, I don't even, at this point, it's done. I did my job. I thought making it meant, like, I could, like, spoil my parents. Clearly, it means they just want more of the thing they're used to. Again, give me your teddy bear so I can upgrade you, mama. Give me your teddy bear. Anyway. I learned my lesson. I appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hey guys, remember you can follow us at Black Man Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackManPodcast.com is our website where you can find links to our merch. We actually have a new t-shirt. I don't know if you guys noticed.
Hey.
We got a Is Hancock a Good Movie t-shirt.
Not only do we have one of those t-shirts, for whatever reason, we have like five, right?
We have four.
But the beauty is that the colors give you that old 90s vibe. They really pop right in time for summer, baby.
Okay.
Get them.
So yeah, go check that out. Also, if you rate us 5 stars on iTunes, we'll read your review on the air. This one is from Raf2534. It's 2 thumbs up with 5 stars. He says, such an awesome show. Hosts are so funny. The Green Book episode was funny as hell. Heard these guys on a blank check and now listen to them talk about every movie I've seen. Keep it up.
Nice.
And then gang. This guy is Jackavelli. Hope you guys do the 5 Bloods. Thanks. I love it. I love when people leave a 5-star review and it's just a request for a movie. That's honestly, I appreciate that the most.
Yeah. Honestly, but also we have to review.
But we are actually going to review the 5 Bloods. Next week. Yes. We'll see you next week.
Hey.
Forever.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!